The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Jesus himself stood among the disciples and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and see my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord. If you have ever lied, if you have ever betrayed anyone, then this gospel I just read is for you. If you have ever thought better of yourself than others, if you have ever waited for someone to come to you with an apology rather than reaching out to them to share your hurt, then this gospel is for you. If you've ever regretted something that you've done, you know, not just in a sorry kind of way, but regretted something so deeply, so viscerally, that you almost wanted to throw up, then this gospel is for you. If you have ever been lonely, frightened, confused, alienated, grief-stricken, or at the end of your rope, then this gospel is for you. If you have never known any of these things, then good for you. I'm not sure why you're here today. You're welcome to stay and listen if you like. Or you could just have a daydream for the next few minutes. The hymn and the prayers are right around the corner. I say that if you've ever felt at the end of your rope or frightened or lonely or sad or ashamed, that this gospel is for you, because that is exactly the crowd that Luke describes as the one that Jesus visited. It is the disciples, Jesus' closest friends, to whom he comes in this story. It is to the disciples, those with whom he spent most of his time over the course of his all too short years of ministry, that he appears. And it is the disciples, who are a sorry, screwed up lot of liars, betrayers, confused, alienated, grief-stricken. These are whom Jesus chooses to spend his time following the resurrection. Maybe he showed them his wounds so they wouldn't spend so much time licking their own. They are a sorry lot, and so are we. Peter was there. The charcoal fire over which this piece of broiled fish that Jesus took and ate, reminding him of the charcoal fire by which he denied the one he said he could love to the end. James and John were there, now much more aware of all the bitterness and death that was in that cup they readily said they could drink when they asked to sit one at his right and one at his left hand forever. The women were no doubt gathered with them as well, those brave women who were the ones who stayed and watched until the bitter end, but who could not let their hearts imagine hope. There they are, a frightened, sorry, confused, alienated, grief-stricken, end of their rope, bedraggled, messy lot. And these are the ones whom Jesus chooses to spend his first moments of resurrected life among. He doesn't go to Herod or Pilate to show them what's what. He doesn't go to Caiaphas, the high priest, and say, "I told you so." He spends his time in the new creation as he spent it in the old, with the least, the lost, the lonely. Jesus died for sinners. Jesus rose for sinners. Jesus lives forever for sinners. If you're not a sinner, Jesus has nothing to say to you. There's nothing Christ can do for you. Even in his resurrection, he comes to those who need him, which is to say, even in his resurrection, he comes to us. Because this is who we are. Oh, we might be all showered and scrubbed up and looking like good Lutherans this morning, but we can't fool Jesus. We have thought ourselves better than others. We have lied and betrayed. We have held our ground and waited for the other to come crawling back to us. This is who we are. Perhaps the ghost we, as those first disciples, most fear seeing is not the ghost of the risen one, but the ghostly, haunting image of our own sorry selves in the mirror. But this is not only who we are. Because of the resurrection of Christ, we are also who the text from 1 John tells us we are. Beloved, we are God's children now. See what love the Father has given us that we should be called children of God. Jesus, the risen one, is not interested in those who do not need him. He doesn't spend time with the rich and the powerful, the high and the mighty. Jesus died for sinners. Jesus rose for sinners. Jesus turns sinners into beloved children of God. '86-year-old Mabel wanted to know in Bible study when I was a young pastor back in the Midwest why the disciples in this story were so lucky. I wasn't sure what she meant at first, but she quickly made her point. Why is it that they got the real thing and we never really get to see him? It seems like they got a real varsity appearance of Jesus, those first disciples did. And I feel like I don't get that. I feel like Jesus only visits us in a junior varsity kind of way, Mabel said. I'm sure that at the time I said something very non-committal to Mabel, probably wondering much the same sort of thing myself. I'm sure I said something innocuous, and hopefully it wasn't patronizing. I bet I said something like, that's a good point. Let's have a look at the other readings for Sunday. But I think I may have a little better answer for Mabel now, these 30-some years later. I think if I could talk to Mabel again about her sadness as perceiving Jesus as not so fully present with us, I might suggest to her that Jesus is really, truly with us. That Jesus is still really showing up today, just maybe not at the places we most typically expect to see him. Jesus, the ever-wounded one, Jesus, friend of sinners, Jesus, firstborn from the dead, Jesus Christ, who wants us back so bad he can taste it, this Jesus, the real Jesus, the varsity Jesus, shows up to gathered, sorry, ghostly, wounded, betraying, fearful, anxious, obnoxious folks just like us. Just the same as he came to gathered, sorry, ghostly, wounded, betraying, anxious, obnoxious folks like those first witnesses of the resurrection. And if we somehow think that he is any less present right here, right now, today, in the same water and body and blood that hung on the cross and then rose and appeared to his first friends, then we are the poorer for it. He is every bit as present here and now as he was then and there. And one more thing. If you want to see him again later today or sometime tomorrow, then maybe stop looking for him among the bold and the beautiful. He's not apt to be as clearly seen among the rich and the powerful. If you want to see him again sometime this week, here's your best bet for a varsity appearance. Look for him among the sinners. Look for him in the lost and the lonely, the betrayers and the bastards. You'll most likely find him with the lonely, the dying, the poor, the grieving, the alienated, the anxious, and the end of their ropers. Jesus, the real Jesus, the resurrected, wounded, hungry Jesus, loves them, loves us. The real, the resurrected, wounded, hungry Jesus hungers for us. Beloved, we are God's children now. See what love the Father has given us. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.